السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. ربنا افتح بيننا وبين قومنا بالحق وأنت خير الفاتحين. Dear brothers and sisters, pride cometh before the fall. We are now in the middle of Pride Month, where we are bombarded with commercials, with advertisements, billboards, and messages asking us not just to tolerate, not just to accept, but also to celebrate one of the most heinous sins that utterly corrupts the human soul and which destroys the sound human fitrah, and that is the crime of sodomy. And so we want to spend a couple of weeks addressing this issue with the intention of building awareness and strengthening our moral core, and to see where all of this is going, and most importantly, what we are to do as individuals, as families, and as communities. So today is a day of speaking truths, which for many people would be uncomfortable truths, but truth must be spoken. And so we begin with a preamble of sorts, a muqaddimah. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu tells us in the Quran, Wallahu la yastahyi min al-haq. Allah is not shy of the truth. And he also tells us, فَلَوْلَا كَانَ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ أُولُو بَقِيَّةٍ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مَا أُتْرِفُوا فِيهِ وَكَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. Allah tells us, if there had only been among the generation before your time people with a remnant of good sense to forbid corruption on the earth, we saved only a few of them while the unjust pursued the enjoyment of plenty and persisted in sin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. Whosoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he is unable, let him change it with his tongue by speaking out about it. And if he is unable to do that, then let him at least hate it in his heart. And that is the lowest degree of faith. Imam Abu Ali al-Daqaq, one of the early imams, he says, من سكت عن الحق فهو شيطان أخرس. Whosoever remains silent from speaking the truth is a mute shaytan. Not a speaking shaytan, but a mute shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a covenant, a mithaq, from those given knowledge that they must clarify the truth and not conceal it. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُونَهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. Allah has taken a covenant from those receiving the scripture, knowledge, that they clarify the truth and they do not conceal it. This means, dear brothers and sisters, that we all have a moral duty to have a stand, to not shy from the truth. We have a moral duty to forbid evil and to take a stand against those whose agenda will destroy humanity through the promotion of an anti-fitrah, anti-human nature agenda. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of past nations that when presented with divine guidance, they chose to disobey and reject. And they were obstinate and arrogant and prideful. And though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often speaks about those nations as an undifferentiated category of rejectors, a few of those societies had very distinct crimes. Their crimes were so brazen, their transgressions so horrible, and their rejection so manifest that Allah destroyed them. Speaking about this destruction of past nations, Allah Ta'ala tells us, فَكُلًّا أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ الصَّيْحَةِ ومنهم من خسفنا به الأرض ومنهم من أغرقنا وما كان الله ليظلمهم ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. He says, so we seized each for their sin. Against some of them we sent a storm of stones. Some were overtaken by a mighty blast. We caused the earth to swallow. Some and others were drowned. Allah did not wrong them. Rather, they wronged themselves. And of the few societies whose destruction is related in the Quran is the people of Lot, the people of Prophet Lot, Qawm Lut. Their crimes are recorded in the Quran to be recited until the last day. And the most significant of their crimes, which was singled out repeatedly in their story, is the crime of sodomy. The story of Lut's people is mentioned at least in 9 different places in the Quran, and there are a total of 75 verses mentioning their crimes. In 5 of these verses, we have what represents Islam's moral position on homosexuality. If you want to convey the position of Islam concerning homosexuality, all you need are these 5 verses in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah Ta'ala says, telling the story of all of these prophets, he gets to the story of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. And he says, وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِنْ دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ صدق الله العظيم. Allah says, remember when Prophet Lut scolded his people, saying, do you commit a shameful deed that no man has ever done before? You approach men sexually instead of women. You are indeed transgressors. But his people's only response was to say, expel them from your land. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They are but a people who wish to remain chaste and pure. So we saved him and his family, except his wife, who was one of the doomed. We poured upon them a rain of brimstone. See what was the end of the wicked. These 5 verses encapsulate our position as Muslims who believe in the Quran concerning the act of homosexuality. Now, although sodomy was not the only offense of the people of Lut, it was nonetheless the emblematic transgression. And it is the sin most imputed to them in the Quran and mentioned repeatedly. They had other crimes, but those crimes, such as highway robbery and practicing evil in their gatherings, these crimes are only mentioned once. But this crime is mentioned repeatedly, time and time again, in the story of the people of Lut and their destruction. Dear brothers and sisters, all of the prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, called their people to the worship of Allah alone, to Tawheed. And that is the foundation of their call. And that is their top priority. But these prophets also came with a moral message. For example, Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam called his people to worship Allah alone. And he also called them to be just in their use of weights and measures and told them to stop cheating people in business practices. What was their response to this da'wah? Allah records that response in the Quran. قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء. The people of Shu'aib responded to him by saying, does your prayer command you that we should leave what our forefathers have worshipped and that we should leave doing with our wealth whatever we please? Basically, the response of the people of Shu'aib was to tell him, who are you to curtail our economic freedoms in the way we use weights and measures in getting one up on others in business? Who are you to curtail our freedoms? And likewise with Prophet Lut alayhi salam, when he called his people to Tawheed and also called them to abandon this immoral practice of sodomy, their response was what? أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَحَّرُونَ. Expel them from your town. They are a people who wish to remain chaste and pure. It's as if they're telling him, who are you to curtail our sexual freedoms? Understand, dear brothers and sisters, that Prophet Lut alayhi salam was a minority among his people. They were overcome with hubris and pride. And despite his minority status, Prophet Lut alayhi salam told them to stop. And he spoke to them in the strongest terms. He did not use his status as a minority among them to be an excuse to keep quiet, or worse, water down his belief. He conveyed the command of Allah even though he was a minority among his people. And for us as Muslims, who believe with conviction in La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, who believe in the Quran as the unchanging divine judgment, there is nothing to be said beyond what Allah has said in Surah Al-A'raf in verses 79 to 84. Those five verses encapsulate everything that can be said about our moral stance towards homosexuality. However, we are in an age of fitna. We are in an age of mass confusion where extremely basic knowledge among Muslims, what used to be extremely basic knowledge among Muslims, is now frequently argued over, where the constants, the thawabit of the religion, are now recast as variables open to debate. And many Muslims shy away from talking about this issue because although they want to follow their religion, they also want to fit in with what society expects of them. And they may believe in their hearts that yes, homosexuality is immoral and it's destructive to society, but they are afraid of being called intolerant and mean. But I'm here to warn you, dear brothers and sisters, if you are quiet about it, and think that it's someone else's problem, and that you can lower your head and get through life quietly, you have to understand that they don't really care about you. This agenda that is being poured, shoved down our throats day and night, it's not about you per se. They don't really care about you. They want your children. Homosexuality is a genetic dead end. They can't reproduce. So the only way it can survive as an agenda, as an ideology, as a lifestyle, is by indoctrinating children and getting them to doubt their own sexuality. Dear brothers and sisters, you are greatly mistaken if you think that they will leave you alone. You are gravely mistaken if you believe that if you refrain from taking a stand and opposing this anti-fitra movement, that you'll be left alone and undisturbed. The LGBT movement, the agenda that is being shoved down everyone's throats, will not be satisfied with our mere silence. It aims to push all of us into a corner until we don't just accept, but celebrate their lifestyle and path. The LGBT agenda will only stop if you either join them or you become like the wife of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. That's the only two options we are presented in this agenda. Either you join them or you become like the wife of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. What was her problem? The wife of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, she is the wife of a prophet, but she had a soft spot for the people and their crimes. She did not participate in those actions, by the way. She did not do that. But she was destroyed along with the people of Lut not because she engaged in their actions, but as we see in the narrations, it is because she took them as allies. That is literally what the ulama of tafsir mentioned and what we find in the Athar of Ibn Abbas. She took them as allies, as awliya. Taking them as allies is what caused her destruction. And Allah Ta'ala tells us this story in the Quran as well. He says, وَجَاءَ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونِي فِي ضَيْفِي أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ قَالُوا لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍّ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَى رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ قَالُوا يَا لُوطُ إِنَّ رُسُلَ رَبِّكَ لَن يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطَعٍ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ إِنَّهُ مُصِيبُهَا مَا أَصَابَهُمْ إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحَ أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ مَنْضُودٍ مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah tells us this story. And his people came hastening to him. And before this, they had been doing evil deeds. He said, O my people, these are my daughters. They are purer for you. So fear Allah and do not disgrace me concerning my guest. Is there not among you a man of reason? They said, you already know that we have no right concerning your daughters, no claim regarding your daughters, and you know exactly what we want. He said to them, if only I had against you some power or could take refuge in a strong support. The angels came to Prophet Lut alayhi salam, Allah tells us in this chapter, and they said, O Lut, indeed we are messengers from your Lord. They will never reach you. So set out with your family during a portion of the night, and let not any among you look back, except your wife. Indeed, she will be struck with that which strikes them. Indeed, their appointment is in the morning. Is not the morning near? So when our command came, Allah said, we made the highest part of the city its lowest part, and rained down upon them stones of layered hard clay, which were marked from your Lord. And Allah's punishment is not far from the wrongdoers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us moral certainty about the constants mentioned in the Quran, to give us moral courage to affirm openly what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden and what He has permitted. May Allah Ta'ala give us thabat, and may He make us among His allies, awliya ar-Rahman, and not from the awliya of shaytan. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, ideas really do matter. A simple example of how ideas matter can be seen when we consider the rise of the LGBTQ agenda in the last 40 years. To show you how ideas matter and how they trickle down over time, allow me to provide you two examples. In the manifesto that was written in 1978 by an organization based out of London known as the Gay Liberation Front, they wrote a manifesto about how they are to develop themselves and build support and normalization for homosexuality in society. They said in this manifesto, and I quote, "The oppression of gay people starts in the most basic unit of society, the family. consisting of the man in charge, a slave as his wife, and their children on whom they forced themselves as the ideal models. The very form of the family works against homosexuality. They acknowledge this. It goes on. We must fight for something more than reform. We must aim at the abolition of the family so that the sexist male supremacist system can no longer be nurtured there. It goes on. Yet although this struggle will be hard and our victory is not easily won, we are not in fact being idealistic to aim at abolishing the family and the cultural distinctions between men and women. This is mainstream. That's the first example. Another example is from a book that you can find right now on Amazon. In 1987, a gay media strategist, Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, they developed a 6-point plan they called Overhauling Straight America. And this plan became the basis for a widespread propaganda campaign that has been waged for the last 30 years. Now, their methods are not based on sound intellect. They're not based on sound rational arguments. They are based on emotional manipulation of the public and in an attempt to gain sympathy for homosexual behavior and to normalize its practice. So this plan that was developed in 1987 was later made a part of a book, a long-form book published in the 1990s, which you can find on Amazon right now. And that is the book, After the Ball, How America Will Conquer Its Fear and Hatred of Gays in the 90s. So the author says, and I quote, "The first order of business," remember this was written in the 1990s, "the first order of business is desensitization of the American public concerning homosexuality. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference, instead of with outrage and disapproval." And according to this book, any campaign to accomplish this should look for or look at working towards 6 things. So their strategy is sixfold. The first strategy in the sixfold strategy they have in this book, number one, they say, talk about gays and gayness as loudly and as often as possible. It says, almost any behavior begins to look normal if you are exposed to enough of it at close quarters and among your acquaintances. And we see that playing out right in front of our very eyes. We see how they are overrepresented in media, in commercials, in ads, in movies, and so on. For example, of the 118 films from the major studios in 2019 alone, 22 of them, 18%, contain characters who identify as LGBTQ. Overrepresented. Likewise, in a new database from Insider, it confirms that more than 250 LGBTQ characters are found in children's cartoons going back to 1983. And if you look at the data from 2010 to 2020, the representation of overtly gay characters skyrockets. You now find them in Sesame Street, in SpongeBob, and in other shows geared towards children. So they vastly overrepresent their numbers through media in order to normalize it and desensitize it so that we are indifferent to it. Number two, they say in their strategy, portray gays as victims, not as aggressive challengers. He says, and I quote, "The mainstream should be told that gays are victims of fate in the sense that most never had a choice to accept or reject their sexual preference." The second message, it says, should portray gays as victims of society. The straight majority must be shown graphic pictures of brutalized gays, dramatization of job and housing insecurity, etc. That's strategy number two, emotional manipulation. Strategy number three, they outlined in this book from the 1990s, give protectors a just cause. He says, and I quote, "Our campaign should not demand direct support for homosexual practices. It should instead take anti-discrimination as its theme. The right to free speech, freedom of beliefs, freedom of association, due process, and equal protection of the laws. These should be the concerns brought to mind by our campaign." Strategy number four, make gays look good. This is what they say, and I quote, "To offset the increasingly bad press that these times have brought to homosexual men and women, the campaign should paint gays as superior pillars of society. We shouldn't overlook the celebrity endorsement. The celebrities can be straight or gay." And number five, in their six-fold strategy, make the victimizers look bad. And by victimizers here, they mean anyone who disagrees. If you disagree, you are a victimizer in their model. Make the victimizers look bad. He says, and I quote, "At a later stage of the media campaign for gay rights, long after other gay ads have become commonplace, like today, it will be time to get tough with remaining opponents. To be blunt, they must be vilified." This was written in the 1990s. Number six is about fundraising strategies, which does not really concern us here. So the point, dear brothers and sisters, is this has been plotted and discussed among them in their agenda for 40 plus years. And what you see today is not some accident. It's something that was carefully crafted and funded and pushed over a series of steps, one step after the other, a strategy to desensitize and normalize sodomy. And I'm here to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, Muslims are not immune. Muslims are not immune to this desensitization strategy. Allow me to share something with you, something that's very alarming. And this is according to a poll released by the Pew Research Center in 2017. In that poll, they mentioned that 52% of American Muslims now agree with the statement homosexuality should be accepted by society. 52%. And this is nearly double the number of those polled in 2007. It doubled in a decade, those approving it. The survey also revealed that Muslim women are much more accepting of LGBT than their male counterparts, with 63% of women supportive compared to 42% of men. It also found support among Muslim millennials at 60%, of US-born Muslims at 57%, and foreign-born Muslims at 49%. This is a huge spike from a decade before, when 39% or so of American Muslims were accepting, and then prior to that, there was 27% accepting. So there's a steady increase decade after decade of people expressing support because they have been victims of this psychological operation to make them accept something that is unacceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear brothers and sisters, there is much more that needs to be said regarding this. And there's much more we need to discuss and how to move forward if we are to navigate the modern world in a God-centered way. The most important thing in Islam is to fully, willingly, and lovingly submit to Allah ta'ala and understand that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, it is not for a believing man or woman that they have any choice regarding the matter. And by submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are stating that only He knows everything and only He has the moral authority to decree what is right and what is wrong. Morality and guidance come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't come from whatever makes sense or what is popular in the modern zeitgeist. So in conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, let us be honest. Let us be frank. We should not shy from acknowledging that our moral beliefs that we hold as believers clashes with the goals and agenda of the LGBTQ movement. There should be no apology about that. We do not advocate harm towards anyone, and we reject this postmodern idea that speech is violence, that if you voice your disagreement, you're somehow committing violence against someone. This is preposterous. We as Muslims have a right to hold, practice, and share our beliefs, and we should not face any punishment or marginalization for that. We should refuse to alter Islam to appease falsehood. You do not alter haqq in order to make room for batil. So do not fall for those who try to scare you with terms like homophobia, because no one has an irrational fear of them. The vast majority of America is exhausted of this self-absorbed, entitled, narcissistic, and confused rainbow cult religion that is shoved down our throats daily. That is the honest truth. The LGBTQ advocates have been programmed by mainstream media to regurgitate these words like hate and afraid, or we're fighting for our lives, just when people say, I think that is immoral. Just by expressing a moral truth that not only we believe as Muslims, but Christians believe according to their scripture, that Jews should believe according to their scripture, and even other scriptures, other religions that are not a part of the lineage going back to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we should not fall prey to this psychological operation, this gaslighting of people reacting like that is a knee-jerk response to anyone who's not putting up with their denial of biological reality. We, and the majority of Americans, have certain values that we're trying to teach our children. Without the rainbow religious cult interfering every time we leave the house, the belief that we are whole, just as Allah has created us, and that we do not need to adopt an anti-life lifestyle or to cut and mutilate ourselves just to be happy. Most Americans are tired of being subjected to the pride cult, of being bombarded with it in every single way, from TV to movies to books to children's entertainment to corporate brands, to the highest levels of government, down to the public elementary school system. So despite the hard push to normalize this degeneracy, we have to understand it is all a show. They are overrepresented in the media. It does not reflect the reality. It does not represent reality. It is an agenda that is meant to divide and conquer. It is an agenda meant to confuse children. It is an agenda meant to sexualize children and separate families, as I read from their manifesto. It is all very perverse. And we have to be like Prophet Lut alayhi salam. He was living as a minority, yet he did not allow that minority status to silence him from saying what is truth. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that moral courage to say what is truth, to not bend and shape the religion to appease a cult that wishes to deny life and biological reality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us rushd, as Prophet Lut alayhi salam addressed his people, Alaysa minkum rajulun rashid. May Allah give us that rushd, that uprightness and guidance to say what is correct in the correct way and in the correct measure, and to convey with wisdom and to not shy from our moral convictions. آمين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم